From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. 49 years ago this month, New York City police raided an underground gay club at Stonewall Inn in Manhattan's Greenwich Village.
In the civil rights movement, we ran from the police. That night, the police ran from us.
There was no going back. We had discovered a power that we weren't even aware that we had.
It was a turning point in what was then called the gay rights movement. Tonight, Atlanta Pride joins with the LGBT Institute at the National Center for Civil and Human Rights and the Fox Theater to commemorate Stonewall and how far the movement has come. Emmy Award-winning actor and comedian Wanda Sykes headlines at the Fox with Tig Notaro. Also on the ticket, a drag show and a concert with Blondie. I spoke with Wanda Sykes from L.A. and asked why Atlanta has become such a nexus for Pride.
I think with the diversity and everything, it's just a place where, you know, people feel comfortable. And of course, you know, Atlanta knows how to party, too. So that's great.
Doesn't hurt. I think for a long time, people, living in other parts of the South probably didn't have a place to gather.
Exactly. Yeah. You go a little further south and not a lot of pride going on down there. So Atlanta, you know, you still have this your southern roots, and but still feel like it's a place where you can have your community and feel safe.
Well, Wanda, let's get to a little history here. The Stonewall Riots, these broke out in 1969. This was following a police raid at the Stonewall Inn, which is a gay bar in Manhattan. What made you want to do a comedy show for the occasion?
Well, you know, when Pride Month rolls around, we get busy, and this comedy just seems to be a good way to celebrate because everybody likes to laugh, and to be able to, it's an easy way to talk about, start a dialogue about, important issues, but in a bit of a funny way.
Here's Martin Duberman. He's an author. He wrote a book called Stonewall. This is from a documentary called Stonewall Uprising.
It's almost impossible for young gay people today to understand what it was like back then. The reason why so many gay men went to Stonewall was that it was pretty much the only dancing bar in town. But as soon as the lights went on, that was the signal. Stop at once. Because what would happen would be unannounced police raids.
Wanda, did you know anything about Stonewall when you were growing up?
No, not when I was growing up, no. I didn't know anything about it.
So this was something that really was a landmark event in the gay rights movement. When did you find out about it?
Wow, I guess probably in the, I want to say in the 90s, probably. Probably late 90s, because that's when I was living in New York and living in Manhattan. And I was working on the Chris Rock show. So, I've been to that bar. So that's, I guess that's when I've learned about it. And also, was going to drag shows and then also going out to Fire Island. We have Uncle Johnny, who's a bartender at Cherry's, and he was actually there during the riot. So, learned a lot from him, just like, firsthand how it happened and all. So growing up we didn't know anything about it.
Right. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Virginia.
Uh-huh.
Then I moved to but mainly in the Maryland, DC area where I went to school.
Here's a little bit more about that documentary recounting the events from the riots with police.
The police would often just barrel through, throw customers, throw them, push them against the side of the wall, march back and forth through the bar, spreading terror. That kind of message, you internalize.
Hearing that clip now, I mean, what do you think? Being aware of well-publicized events and occasions of police brutality, especially in the African-American community, is there a correlation between those issues?
Definitely. I mean, it's still happening. It's except within the African American community, we see it, especially with the now everyone has cell phones. But you know, nothing has changed. It's been going on since forever. So I guess at that time with Stonewall, it just happened to be white gay men who were some in drag who were harassed that day, and of course the community is still being harassed, but African Americans, this is nothing new for us.
Mm. And almost 40 years later in 2016, there was the worst mass shooting in American history. This was at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando back in 2016. What do you think, about these two incidents and attacks on the LGBT community?
It's tragic. It just proves that, that hate is still, very at the forefront as far as when it comes to targeting, our communities. And we need, tougher laws, and especially, there's over 30-something states where you can be fired just for being, gay or lesbian, so transgender. So, we need tougher laws and, hate crimes. We just more needs to be done.
You are a regular on the show Curb Your Enthusiasm and also on Black-ish. Now, this is now in its fourth season. I want to play a little clip. This is from season one. There's a conversation in the Johnson household. That's kind of the family that this is centered on, about a character named Rhonda. This is played by Raven Simone, who is a lesbian. Here, Dre's wife is trying to convince him to tell his mother the truth about her. Let's hear the clip.
Dre, what's the worst thing that could happen if you actually said the words, Rhonda is gay?
What's the best thing that could happen?
Auntie Rhonda is gay?
Wanda, how important is it to you for people to hear these kind of conversations on TV and in the media?
I love that. I mean, the more you talk about it, the more visible we are, and and also there's so many people out there who are still hiding and they don't feel comfortable, and I think the more you see us. And that we're, shown as just people trying to live our lives, and that it makes it easier for the people to, to be comfortable in their own skin and to live their true self. So, I encourage it.
I read that you didn't come out to your parents until you were in your 40s. What was holding you back?
I just wasn't ready. I mean, and then when I did come out, it was very hard for my family. But it just takes time. And if they see that you're comfortable with yourself and that's just who you are, then they have no choice but to accept you if they still want you in their lives. And that's where we are, and we're in a great place.
Well, now you are married. You have kids. Do you have two kids? Have I got that right? Twins?
Mm-hmm. Twins. Yep. A boy and a girl.
Did you ever think growing up that you would become a parent?
I always saw myself with kids, but I was by myself. For some reason I thought, I'll probably get married and have some kids, and then he'll die or I don't know. I always saw myself like maybe with kids, but I never saw a guy or a husband with me. And then I got to a point where I was like, oh God, no, I don't want kids at all. And when I met my wife, when I met her, I was in the mindset of like, no kids. But after falling in love with her, and this was like, of course, why wouldn't I want to start a family with this person?
Well, you are also a voice actor. I know you were in Ice Age. You played, or voiced, rather, Sid's grandmother. And Chloe in Rio, do you at least get some street cred with your kids for, you know, being in really super popular movies?
It took them a while to catch on that it was me. At first, they wouldn't believe me.
Really?
Yeah, they did, yeah. So, but now they're into it. And now they're all about Vampirina because that's the new show I'm doing now. It's the same creator who did Doc McStuffins, Chris New. So I'm doing, I played Gregoria, the gargoyle.
Really? Do you have your Gregoria voice or can you only pull it out like, you know, on contract or something?
It's basically my voice. When they book me, I think I'm supposed to show up with full voice, and they're like, "No, just you, yeah, that's fine."
So, what can we expect from your upcoming comedy show here in Atlanta?
Well, it's a brand new hour that I'm working on, and I'm really happy with where it is right now. Like, I was just in Palm Beach over the weekend and had great shows, so. You know, I'm talking about a lot of stuff. You know, race is, as we see, we have a lot of problems with it. So I'm talking about that. Of course, I talk about my family, and of course, talking about this administration. So, we're covering a lot, but there's a lot of big laughs,
It must be a challenge to turn some of those things that are, you know, heavy subjects into laughs. Where do you go to do that? How do you do that?
Well, I mean, a lot of it is just like common sense. If you're speaking the truth, but you can do it with a funny slant, a funny take on it, then people enjoy that. You know, it just got to make sure it's funny. Like I'm not. You know, on a soapbox and just giving a speech. There's a lot of jokes. So, but that's the thing. You just gotta, as long as you keep it funny, people are gonna enjoy it. Unless you're like a hardcore Trump supporter, then you'll probably, you know, walk out, which gives me great delight too, because I'm keeping your money. Yeah, no refund.
What do you think, Wanda? Looking forward. And looking back, you know, 29 years after Stonewall, some of the biggest challenges for the LGBT community.
Like I said, we need protection there. You know, you can't be fired just for being LGBT. You just we need that. I think that's the big one.
Award-winning comedian and actor Wanda Sykes. You can catch her comedy show at the Fox Theater tonight at 8 with Tig Notaro, who we'll be speaking to up next. Go to gpbnews.org for more. From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Before the break, I spoke with Wanda Sykes, who is headlining a 49th anniversary commemoration of the Stonewall riots tonight with another comedian, Tig Notaro. She broke through the stand-up comedy circuit in 2012, ironically, by talking on stage about the breast cancer diagnosis she had just received.
I have cancer. How are you? Hi, how are you? Is everybody having a good time? I have cancer. How are you? It's a good time. Diagnosed with cancer. Feels good. Just diagnosed with cancer. God.
Tig Notaro initially thought of backing out of the gig, but decided to press ahead. I asked her about that when I interviewed her for NHPR in 2015. At that point, she had been cancer-free for the last two checkups. I also asked her about growing up in the South.
I was born in Jackson, Mississippi, and then we moved down to the Gulf Coast to Pas Christian, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And then we moved to Spring, Texas, which is a smaller town outside of Houston.
Yeah, you dropped out of high school. Did you know then you wanted to be a comedian?
No, I pretty much just knew I did not want to be in school. I failed three grades and dropped out. And I mean, I was definitely the mischievous class clown in school, but I didn't really know. I loved stand-up as a kid, and I followed it and listened to records and stuff, but I just I didn't know for sure, I think, until I was in my early 20s.
Well, I guess you were kind of doing your bit or establishing your bona fides, because a lot of comedians began as miscreants, don't they?
Oh, yeah. I think so. I always, whenever I'm hanging out with my friends in Los Angeles, I always refer to everyone as the land of misfit toys from, you know, those claymation shows.
Right. From the Santa Claus is coming.
Yeah,
to town,
yeah.
Right? So what's the appeal for you as a performer playing to these little stages? I mean, I thought that once you get big, you don't perform for nine people anymore.
Well, I appreciate that you think I'm big. I don't know. I think there's comedy is always great in awkward and unsafe environments. And I think that that's kind of a way that you can get back to that, because walking into a comedy club when you're a known comedian or you have a very worked out show, it is a pretty safe ride. But when you are working out new material or you have no material, which is what happened to me on that tour, I had no new material. I relied on a few old jokes in that taping, but in general, I was trying to get my feet wet again after having old material and then announcing that I had cancer in this show a couple of years ago. And then it kind of cleaned my slate with material where when I got back out, I was like, God, I really don't have anything. And so it puts you into that unsafe, exciting environment, being in someone's living room.
That, it sounds terrifying to me.
It is. Trust me.
And
but
awkward.
It's also exhilarating.
Yeah, is it? So
uh-huh.
Do you feel like you've come away from that experience with what?
I can't wait to do it again.
Really?
Yeah. I hope it turns into a TV show down the road.
But you used to be known anyway as a deadpan comic, not offering a lot of clues about who you are. And then this, after initially announcing that you had cancer at that show at Largo.
Oh, my God. It's weird because with humor, the equation is tragedy plus time equals comedy. I am just at tragedy right now. That's just where I am in the equation. Oh, it's fine. Here's what happened. It's very personal. Found a lump. Guys, relax. Everything's fine. I have cancer.
I'm thinking of those hours beforehand. I mean, did you decide you were going to do this? Did you rehearse it? What happened?
Well, I had several days. I was diagnosed on July 25th, and the show was August 3rd. And so I spent those days just reflecting on how I felt. And I had originally wanted to cancel the show, but the owner of the club suggested I just keep the show and see how I felt right up to the last second. And if I didn't want to do it, I could cancel. So I kept it on the books, and then I just kept writing and seeing how I felt. And I knew that I couldn't have, because aside from cancer, I'd also, my mother died unexpectedly after an accident, and I was in the middle of a breakup, and I had another illness where I couldn't eat food. I was really at rock bottom, and so I could not bring myself to get on stage with a cancer diagnosis and, you know, a skeletal frame of a body and just be like, oh my gosh, so I was traveling the other day, you know, and just make lighthearted jokes. I felt like I had something massive staring me in the face and I needed to acknowledge it and hopefully make light of it. And so, and yeah, it wasn't my typical style, but before I walked on stage, I was so nervous because I knew I was about to do something I had never done. Mm. And that I had no clue how it was going to go. And, yeah, so the safety was definitely gone there.
People talk about you on stage. I'm wondering what you saw in the audience as you were looking out.
I mean, it was such a mix of confused people waiting for the punchline and just shock and awkward laughter, and then the more I kept talking about things, the more it became clear that it wasn't a joke. It was just really a setup of, you know, truth so that I could explore all the different aspects of what I was going through and make light of it. And once people started to realize it was true, I also saw people crying in the audience. And it was really a mixed bag to look out into. And it was also a reality check, letting me know that this was really happening. It was kind of hard to comprehend everything. Very surreal moments that I would go in and out of.
And now when you hear those clips of you doing that, I mean, what do you think? I mean, do you feel like...
Oh. I don't listen to those clips. I mean, honestly, if somebody's playing it in an interview or... And it's not just from that show that it's hard to listen to. It's hard to listen to anything of myself. I really can't think of anything worse than hearing myself. And it's not like, oh, that this is such a hard time and painful time. It's just, oh, my gosh, I can't hear myself. I used to listen to myself when I was first starting out as a stand-up, and I would record all my shows. And even now when I'm working out new material, I'll sometimes record the audio. But I always think it's a funny sight if somebody walked in and heard me listening to my audio, because I'm telling jokes. You hear the audience laughing, and my face is very stoic and serious listening. My face does not look like I understand comedy at all when I'm listening very intently.
Do people now who have cancer seek you out? I mean, do they think you're kind of the cancer comic, the one who's been through it?
I don't know what people think, but I certainly get quite the mix of people at my shows, from podcast fans that listen to my podcast, comedy nerds and cancer survivors, and just every person across the board. And it's really an interesting mix of people. People that have just had a bad day and listened to my show from 2012, had a bad day at the office, and they're like, wow, that really put things into perspective for me. And so I don't know what brings people to me, but I know it seems to be, you know, from casting a wide net through all the different avenues I've taken along the way.
That was comedian Tig Notaro. She and Wanda Sykes headline Atlanta Pride Stonewall Celebrations tonight at the Fox Theater in Atlanta. There are a number of other events, including Blondie on Friday night.